Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
All right, we want to talk about a very interesting topic today. Very interesting. It says, walk with the Spirit. And I need everybody to pay close attention. Now, before this scripture, we had seen where Jesus spoke to us in Matthew 26:41. Before the scripture, where we emphasized walking with the Spirit. We had seen where Jesus spoke to us in Matthew 26:41, and He says these beautiful words. He said, watch and pray lest you enter into what? Temptation. He said, for the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Can we read together? Everyone want to read. My sister was looking at me when I said we should read. Sister, are you scared? Sister, what's your name? Sister Sarah. You did not read, you were just looking at me. So let's read now. I'm going to supervise you. Everybody, let's read. One, two, go. Good. Now, firstly, I want you to understand the audience Jesus was speaking to here. These were not believers. Interestingly, they were not what? Believers. Is that established? Because I know you are struggling to believe. You know that? They are not believers. How? Now, the Spirit of God was not available in everybody at that time on their inside. Are we together? When did the Spirit of God come and indwell every human being on the earth? It was after Jesus had resurrected and left, and that the disciples were tarrying in Jerusalem in the upper room. Can you remember? That was when the Holy Spirit came while they were praying. That's number one. Because the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit affirms the believer. So nobody was filled with the Holy Spirit at that time except Jesus. Number two, Jesus had not yet died yet. He was not buried and He was not resurrected, revealed as the Christ yet. And the Bible says to us that it is anybody that is in Christ that is a what? New creation. The provision for the new creation was not made available at that time. The resurrection of Jesus is what gives birth to the new creation. So at that point, nobody was a believer. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Who is a believer? One who has the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. One who is a function of Jesus' death, burial, and what? Resurrection. Are you all listening to me? So at this point, Jesus was not speaking to what? Believers. That statement is what? Justified. Of course, they were human beings, but they were not believers yet, in quotes. Are we together? So now He was speaking to, we can now conclude that He was speaking to people who were not really capacitated. Are you all listening to me? He was not speaking to people who were really what? Capacitated. He was speaking to people who were not yet capacitated. Who were not yet energized by the Spirit. Who were not yet strengthened yet. Because they don't understand the finished work of Jesus yet. Jesus was not dead, buried, and resurrected. And so nobody can really live and reign above sin. I mean, sin's nature and acts thereof. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And so Jesus was speaking to a weak people. He said, watch and what? Pray. Lest you enter into what? Temptation. How did I know this? Because the Bible says to us in the book of James, it said, count it all joy. And these are another set of people. Hallelujah. Are you in church this morning? Don't be sleeping. It said, count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse temptation. Can you remember that part of scripture? James what? James what? James 1 and 3. This one that our drummer knows scripture in this church more than many people like this. In other churches, drummers don't used to know anything. Amen? Aye, drummer. You missed it by 1 point. Let's see verse 2. When I was a drummer, I didn't know scripture. Because when I became a pastor, I knew. Let's pray together. I want to go. You see that? I don't like the way you people look serious. You see, do you have 1 billion? Please, look okay. Amen. Some of you are looking too serious. Turn to your neighbor and shake the neighbor for 5 seconds. Look very okay. The way my wife is looking at me, that's how you should be looking. She's looking at me like she just saw me for the first time. Look very okay. Keep on shaking. Some people are not shaking their neighbors. Please, we'll bring them here to come and shake. You practice shaking for us here. Yeah, smile. Shout glory. Shake glory. I say shout glory. This boy says glory. We are not in a mortuary. You know, those days where in our local, they say you are not in a mortuary, you are in a sanctuary. So yeah, we are in a sanctuary, not to be mourning. Forget your problems, they are not real. Paul said, for our light affliction, you have seen your own too heavy. That's why you are looking the way you are looking. As long as you are a believer, can you call us the new Superman? Nothing about us have been seen before. You are so heavy, powerful. The Bible says you are as Mount Zion. You can never be shaken. Why are you looking like you want to cry? You can never be shaken. That's what the Bible said. Now, do you believe that about yourself? So stop being, don't be allowing rent to make you look like this. Don't be allowing food stuff because you have not bought egg yet. See, one of the people eating Gary. Say, I have more than enough. The first brethren, he told them that pray so that I watch, don't enter temptation. The second one, he looked at them and said, count it all joy. And he's talking about you and I who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you born again? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? The Bible says you can do all things. And that's why the Bible says you should count it all joy. I declare two of you sisters, stand up. You there. You here. Turn to the church. Let them see you. Stand up and turn to the church. What are you people saying here? Twins. Ha-ah. You are hereby declared identical twins. You can sit down. I was getting confused while I was preaching. Amen. He said, count it all joy. Count it all joy. When you fall into diverse temptation, don't cry. Get excited. Hallelujah to Jesus. The first set of people, he said, watch and pray so that you don't even enter the temptation because they will fall. They were not capacitated yet. But the one in Christ, I'm talking about you and I. We are so powerful. The Bible says we can do what? All things. Through Christ who strengthens us. We can live above all weakness. We can live above any form of failure. Are you listening to me? In fact, we can fail. We walk upon water like Peter. You know, I was sharing with some brethren one time. I said, see, the fact that Peter called out for Jesus before Jesus was able to help him while he was drowning paints a picture that God's best is not that we drown in situations. Yeah, God will help you when you get into tough situations. He's a very good father. He will try to pull you out, of the situation. Like he pulled Peter out. He will do it every time. But his best for Peter was not to be drowned in the situation. He wanted Peter to walk upon water. And as long as Peter was setting his gaze on Jesus, not minding the circumstance around, what was happening, he was walking upon the situation. He was walking upon the water. But immediately, the storm became so heavy and it removed his gaze. Now, it didn't matter that the storm was so heavy. The situation was so tough. But for the fact that Peter was able to remove his what? Gaze from Jesus. What happened? He started getting into the situation. A lot of tough situations may be happening around you. But let your gaze be on the word of God. When you don't feel worried. The word of God should determine your joy. Your gaze. Now, if your eyes are set on Jesus, the Bible says he will keep them in perfect peace. They that their heart are what? Set upon it. And that peace is beyond human understanding. It's not human peace. Human peace is when they see solution, they begin to get excited. We see the word and begin to get excited. We see what God has said about the situation, we begin to get excited. Because we have seen the end of the situation. The word of God is the end of the situation. It's the end of every matter. And the end justifies the beginning. So it doesn't matter what is going on right now. I know the end. The end is victory. The end is success. The end is breakthrough. The end is surplus. The end is strength. Are you listening? Jesus speaking to us in Matthew, let's go back there. He said, watch and pray. He was speaking to weak people who were not yet Christians or believers, like I said. Because what will make for somebody becoming a believer is that he understands resurrection. And at that time, resurrection was not made available. Jesus was not resurrected yet. And that's why he warned them. He said, go and wait in the upper room. Don't go and walk for me. Go and wait. As long as you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, go and wait. Wait. Tarry at the upper room. Tarry. Don't do anything. Just be waiting for me there. At that point, they were filled with fear. Can you remember? They were so scared. They couldn't do nothing. They were scared of the Pharisees. Until the Holy Ghost filled every one of them. The word endued in Greek. It's more like a word used for sorcery, that you know, you carry something, you hit, you know, more like you carry hammer, the way I read it years ago, and you hit a human being, and the human being expand. In other words, you'll be expanded when the Holy Ghost is infused on your inside. You'll be capacitated when the Holy Spirit is what? Infused on your inside. It's more like a way of expanding the ability of a thing, the strength of a thing. So Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you and in you, your strength becomes more. You become more strengthened. You become more capacitated. In a day, a fearful people won 3,000 souls. In a day, people who were scared of the Pharisees were able to win how many thousand? 3,000. What happened to them? The same Holy Spirit you have now is the Spirit they had that time. Are you listening to me tonight? That simply paints one picture, that you are not aware of this, your Holy Spirit. You are not aware of the ability of this, your Holy Spirit, if you are not doing what they did. Your Holy Spirit is not a fake one. The only problem is that you are not aware of the ability of this Spirit. The Bible says we have in the same spirit of faith, not a different spirit of faith. We have the same spirit of faith as they did. He said we believe like they believe, and so we speak. Are you listening to me? Meaning you can imagine Peter. Imagine Peter. How he was preaching and winning souls. And imagine yourself. You can just act on what you are seeing. And start doing like him. Because the same ability in Peter is at work in you. Are you listening to me? Of course you don't need to go and stay in Jerusalem. Like and wait on the Pentecost until you start blah blah blah. No. And it's not on Pentecost that the Holy Spirit comes. What happens is that in the days of Jesus, he actually affirmed every feast or cancelled every feast by showing up. Let me explain it to you. In the feast of the living waters, where they carry water and pour up and it falls down. That's their practice. They'll just come, they're celebrating the feast of living water. They'll pour water up. When it falls down, they'll start celebrating God. And Jesus came in. The same day of that feast, the same day of that, the Bible says on the day of the feast of living water, he entered the temple. He said, I am the living water. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So meaning that every event he went there, he showed up to end the event, because he was a manifestation of the event. It was, he is what the event is pointing to. That's why when he came, he said, I am, John of course said that, he said, this is the lamb that what takes away. Now John's, whatever John was doing, alright, to outsiders, John was removing sins from people. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Of course, John understood the true meaning of his assignment. It was to look for the Messiah. I don't want to get you confused. So let's leave it at John was washing people's sin away by putting them in water and removing them outside. Now, if for instance, I am John, I'm trying to put people in water, washing their sins and removing them, and I see a man somewhere that is probably on the line. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And I look at the man and say, now imagine I've already washed other people's sin with the water. Let's take for instance River Benue, and they are here waiting for me, all right, or giving God praise because their sins were washed away. And one man is about to come, and I look at the man, I say, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And they are watching at me, looking at me, getting confused because they thought I took away their sins. I washed their sins. But here is the same man saying, look at the one. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? That takes away what? The sins of God. Painting the right picture that actually baptism was an algorithm to find Christ. He knew. That's why when he was doing it, he was looking out for somebody. When he saw him, he said, ah, I have looked for what I'm, what they said. I've seen what they've said. I've seen what I'm looking for. Let me put it like that. But they actually saw it as a way of what? Removing their sins. Then no. The actual meaning of baptism, if you read the book of John 1, is to discover the Messiah. The baptism is more like an algorithm. Let's take for instance, if you're a GCMI member, you should have an ID card, for instance. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? So you are putting the ID card, and if you want to come into church and I see you with an ID card, I know you are a GCMI member. But as long as people are passing no ID card, I'll be saying, go like this. So encountering me is more like the algorithm to find that GCMI member. That's how baptism works. Immediately Jesus came, the one he was looking for, the ministry of baptism ended. Of course, more firmly when he was resurrected. Because within that period, before he was resurrected, it was still being practiced, even by the disciples. But immediately he resurrected, Paul said, I thank God I did not baptize people with water, except one when I did not have understanding. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 1. You can go and look at it. Then he began, how can somebody be thanking God that he did not baptize people with water? Because of course he now has understanding. And if you look at it critically, we are not trying to make some people look foolish. What does water baptism do to you? Nothing. How many of you have been baptized with water here before? Now, it is not a sin. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It's a practice that has been misunderstood. But when you got into that water and came out, you and I know that nothing truly changed. You actually thought you were changed. Until actually after 2 weeks or 1 week. In fact, some people after one night. You know, years ago I was watching what reels on Facebook, and a brother posted his friend. A wicked friend posted his friend. He followed the friend for baptism. When they baptized his friend, he now did another video when the friend was partying the same night, celebrating the baptism. So he posted before and posted after. Astonishing. But there is nobody here under the sound of my voice that the day you were filled with the Holy Ghost, you had the impetus to go for a party. If you went, you are not a human being. The day you were filled with the Holy Ghost, you can't go anywhere. When I became filled with the Holy Ghost, I didn't know I could pray. I sat in a spot in my room and I prayed 2 hours straight. I had never prayed an hour before. And when my eyes were open, I thought it was 2 minutes. Only for me to discover that I've been praying for 2 hours. And I'm talking now, Pastor. If you are in the flesh, you know your heart must first be there. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? Effectual, heartfelt, continuous. They say pray, you don't want to pray. It will look like 5 hours when it's just 5 minutes. But if you wanted to pray, your heart is there. You know, this prayer thing is not something you just go and be joking. It's not something you go and be playing. Your heart must be there before you enter the prayer room. There's a matter you want to solve. There's something you are looking for. There's something you want to touch that you have seen in the world. So your heart is already there. I tell you the truth. If you truly have something in your heart, the word in your heart, prayer will never be stress. It will never be stressful. Are you listening to me? So Jesus said, The flesh is weak. The flesh in its capacity cannot live in the reality of the spirit. One who has the consciousness of the flesh cannot fulfill the desires of God. He said the flesh, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Man can only be able to do the things of God when he's in the spirit, because the spirit is what? Willing. But the flesh is what? Weak. If you are in the flesh, you'll be weak. But if you are in the spirit, you will be willing. As let's say together, I want to go. If you are in the flesh, you'll be what? But if you are in the spirit, you'll be what? One more time, want to go. If you are in the flesh, but if you are in the... I want everybody to say it one more time. Want to go, shout it out. So where will you be willing? In the spirit. And that's why Paul said to us in the book of Galatians, he said, walk in the spirit so that you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Walk in the spirit, 5:16 of Galatians. He said, walk in the spirit so that you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Because where are we going to be willing to do the will of God? In the spirit. So if a Christian is walking in the flesh, that Christian cannot please God. Because you can only be willing in the spirit. And if you are in the spirit, there is no way you'll be serving the flesh. There is no way you'll be fulfilling the desires of the flesh. In Galatians 5:25, give me the verse 25. It said, if we live in the spirit, let us also walk. Verse 25. If we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. If we live in... How many of you are living in the spirit? Glory to God. I wish you get what I'm trying to explain to you. How many of you are living in the spirit? He said, walk in the spirit. You can't be living in the spirit and be walking in the consciousness of the flesh. It doesn't work that way. Many of you are a Christian, be aware, be conscious of your environment. How many of you are aware you have come into an innumerable multitude of angels? Where the spirit of judgment when I made perfect, I mean, you have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. You must be conscious of this new environment where you are. If you live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. Do you live in the spirit? Walk in the spirit. Be conscious of this supernatural environment. And how you build this consciousness is by prayer. You see a lot about this environment in scripture, and you build a consciousness as you meditate on God's word. Are you listening to me? Now, if you walk in the spirit, nothing can touch you. You are in a new environment. You are seated together with Christ. You are in the realm of the Christ. You are in the realm of the glory, where angels surround you. Are you listening to me? The Bible says, "Ye are come to Mount Zion, the city of the Lord, in an innumerable multitude of angels." Listen, we are not saying carnally devised fables. Who do you think that you are? You are not an Idoma girl or an Idoma boy or a tea boy more than you are a kingdom person. Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I had known you and I had given you a destiny in me. So forget it that you started here. You are not from here. Don't be so conscious of the fact that you are a thief man or an Igede man than you are a kingdom man. Are you listening to me? These things are actually, you know, more like you pass through something. It doesn't mean you should be influenced by the thing. So I can never allow any culture influence me. I know where I'm coming from. We're in this world, but what? Not of the world. And that's why Jesus came and died for us, and by his blood we've been called out from every tribe, people, and what? Nation, by the precious blood of Jesus. Meaning we have a new identity. Are you listening to me? We're in a new environment. It's called kingdom. And there are a lot of things in this kingdom. There are realities in this kingdom. He said, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the Lord, in an innumerable multitude of angels, where the spirit of judgment are made perfect. You know, one time I was talking to my wife. I spoke to somebody who was dead, who is a pastor. And I said to her, I said, I'm worried. Why? What does the living have to do with the dead? And while I was thinking, I don't know if she was the one that said it, I said, but come to think of it, why do we always have this impression that the cloud of witnesses are only made up of white people? Yes. How many of you have seen a black man in the cloud of witnesses before? We always want to say Elijah and not. But if somebody was a believer before he died, he's in the cloud of witnesses. It means you can speak to him. These are spiritual realities. You can speak to that person. Years ago, I was growing up, I was taught the word so much by my role model, Prophet Kobus van Rensburg. A lot of times, I just see them in a vision and I'm hearing the word. He's teaching me the word. But when it comes to a black man, a lot of times, you know, we've not really thought about this thing. We don't believe that cloud of witnesses can be made up of black people. So black people too are part of, you can see a friend who was born here, if you get what I'm trying to say, and he can talk to you. He said, you have come to the spirit of just men made perfect. Are you listening to me? Doesn't mean you should put your gaze there and focus there now. As I'm talking, some people are like, wow, I've come there. Where is Elijah, my guy? No! The Bible says, even though you are there, your eyes should be set on Jesus, who is the word author and what finisher of your feet, not on the cloud of witnesses. They are there to cheer. Who is in a, you know, what they call, is it relay race? Who is in a relay race? Focus on the cheering crowd. Will that person ever win? On your mark, get set, move. Then they are shouting, "Bomber!" I used to be in Bomber House. Who's this? And then this stuff. Bomber, bomber, the yellow house. Bomber, bomber. Yeah. How do you want me to run? Run fast. You will lose. You will lose. I spoke to Elijah yesterday and he told me, I'm in a relay race. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to explain to you. I was speaking with Moses hand in hand with Elijah. Why? To give you more info than what the Holy Spirit has given us. Does Moses know more than the Holy Spirit? Does Elijah know more than the Holy Spirit? He said, it is your advantage that I go so that Elijah comes. So that who comes? The Holy Ghost. Jesus without limits. God in his gracious form. God reaching everybody at the same time. How he manifests as the omnipresence. He is everywhere at the same time for everybody in every situation. That's why he came as the Holy Spirit. He's in me and you at the same time. When he's talking to you, he's talking to me at the same time. The Bible said the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, who knows the heart of God but the Spirit of God? Same way, who knows the heart of a man but the Spirit of that man? Now, guess what the Bible said? It said, you have received the Holy Spirit, who is from God, that you may know the things that God has freely given unto you. There's a movie years ago I watched. Is it a movie or a series? This TV series. Is it Second Chance? Can you remember Second Chance? Alright. If you are giving birth in 2000, you will not understand what I'm talking about. There's a series we used to call Second Chance those days. How many of you sincerely know that what I'm talking about? Alright, we have very few. We used to have, is it Catalina and Sebastian or Diego Paloma? Diego and Paloma. Can you remember? Diego actually died and came back through an older man. And the lady was seeing her husband she was seeing an old man talk like Diego. Am I saying the right thing? Salvador, oh my God. Salvador. She was seeing her husband, you know, you see one old man talking like your boyfriend. I don't know that I get one. Your boyfriend has died. Then you see one old man toasting you like your boyfriend. He has the accent and everything. Like, what is happening here? Why is this old man talking the way I want? You understand what I'm trying to say? That was what was happening because the spirit of Salvador was in what? That old man. What am I trying to say? If this man's spirit entered this lady, she will start talking, behaving like this man. She will know everything. all the things you know in this life now, all the secret this man knows, if his spirit enter this woman, she will know all the secrets. I'm trying to explain what 1 Corinthians 2 means. You see, all as I'm standing here now, I have a lot of secrets. The counseling sessions, the problems of people, and the rest. I will never tell you. But if my spirit enters you, some people now are looking for that spirit to enter. You know all the problem that I've heard before. You know all the secrets that I've heard before. You just know it. So who knows the heart of a man? Who knows the heart of a man but the spirit of that man? Same way, who knows the heart of God but the spirit of God? Verse 12. You have received the spirit who is from God, that you may what? Know the things that God has what? All of God's intention for you, you will know. Because the spirit of God is in you. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you now? Look at how powerful you are. And that's why verse 16 says, who knows the heart of the Lord that he may instruct him? We're not saying God move here. But the way it works is that we know God so much that when we do his bidding, there's a response for him from him directly for manifestation at once. That's what it means for instruct there. It doesn't mean we're telling God, come and do this thing. Mm-mm. We know what God wants us to do. And when we do it, he responds immediately because we have his mind. We have his spirit. Are you all listening to me? So stop seeing yourself like an Idoma and a thief and an Igede and an Ibiobio and a Igbo and a Yoruba person alone. You are a kingdom person. Are you listening to me? Stop seeing yourself that way. Walk in the spirit. And what is your database in the spirit? The word. The word is your description. The Bible speaks about the washing of the word. If you look at that scripture in Ephesians 5, he said, I'm not talking about husband and wife necessarily. I'm just using them for example. I'm referring to Christ and the church. Meaning if you want to be made like, if you want to really touch your identity in the spirit, you have to be washed by the word. We will tell you that, listen, you are not a sinner. You are the righteousness of God. You see that? We are describing you in the spirit. You are not weak. You are strong. Let the weak say. Let the poor say. You are not poor. We are describing your identity in the spirit. You say, you cannot do it. I can't do it, Pastor. I can't do it. We come to you and describe your identity. The you in the spirit can do it. You can do all things. Paul used to speak like you. When he was now filled so much with the word of God, he came to a point, he said, I can do all things. He had not seen the least of all the things, yet he said, I can do. Because I know the one in me is greater than anything in this world. He that is in me is greater than he that is of the world. So I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. Everything. Everything. The assurance of glory. The surety of glory is on my inside. Christ in me. The assurance of glory. The assurance that I cannot walk in sin is on my inside. Now I refuse to walk in sin. Now is that easy? We boast in the Lord. We boast in the Lord. Pause, let us boast about this thing. Now somebody may be like, why will he say he can't live above sin? Who is greater than sin? You are greater than sin. Jesus did not die for you to keep on dying every day to sin. Do you know how many things sin has done to people in this world? The enemy has come but to steal, kill and destroy. He keeps on destroying the destinies of people through sin. Stealing from people's their ideas, their IQ, creativity. You know how many people's creativity have gone because of sin? How he's destroying people every day because of sin? Sin is an enemy. And that's why the Bible says he will come and save the people from their sins. Because he wants to remove the limitation from the way. And I hope you know that Jesus has removed that limitation. I hope you know he has removed it. So why should you live in sin anymore? If he has paid the price for sin. The problem is that many people don't know the price he has paid. He has paid the price for sin. Think for instance, what I taught you before. The Bible said, "Is a he that is dead is free from sin." How many of you died with Christ? How many of you were buried with Christ? How many of you resurrected with Christ? The Bible said in Romans 8 and 7, Romans 6 and 7, say, "He that is dead is what? Freed from sin." He that is dead is freed from sin. Having said, of course, in Colossians 3 and 1, he said, "If you died with Christ," see it in the Amplified rendition, "if you died with Christ and were buried with Christ and resurrected with Christ," he says, "set your affections on the things which are above, at the Father's right hand. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead," did you see that? Keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Don't be doing like these things are not about you. They are about you. These things, everything you are seeing here, it's you who are describing. Refuse to allow Satan just make you common in this world. You're not common. This is you. Are you listening to me? Now you can't hear this thing, and the next thing that comes to your mind is go and bow your ears. No. You know, yesterday we're coming, I'm not talking about the ladies, I'm talking about the guys. We're coming to church, and when we're seeing young people coming out from this place looking dressed anyhow, I told them something. I said, there is hunger in the heart of these young people. You are looking for something to satisfy the hunger and the thirst in their heart. And all of these things they are doing will not take them anywhere. They will keep on doing even worse. They do this one, they are not satisfied. They do that one, they are not satisfied. They do all the atrocities, they are yet not satisfied. But Jesus is the bread that when you eat, you are satisfied. And is the wine that when you drink, you thirst no longer for anything. Are you listening to me? Glory to God forevermore. And I said to them, I said, there's only one solution. That solution must have a touch of madness. We are not understanding what I'm saying. I said, you see, the regular church would not want to touch these new creation realities. They don't want to welcome these teachings. Even Jesus came to them, they rejected him. Church, Jesus came to church and wanted to talk about a certain thing. They rejected Jesus and asked him, are you greater than our father Moses? We are doing it today. Are you greater than our fathers that give us this doctrine? He said the worship is in vain because they take for doctrine the teachings of men. Meaning when you assume for doctrine what is actually a mistake, the worship will be in vain. You'll be coming to church, it will be some sort of magnitude. You have magnitude but no direction. A Christian in church and in club on Friday. Church on Sunday, club on Friday. Not because you are a bad person, but because what you heard in church could not get you capacitated. So you left church because of the emptiness in your heart. Jesus was not given to you. The emptiness in your heart, because only Jesus satisfied. Since you didn't really capture Jesus, you are still empty. You went back home and you were craving for worldly things. So the worship is in vain because you take, they assume for doctrines and you were taking it. The teachings of men. So I told them the only solution is some Christians with a touch of madness. Like what? And the Holy Spirit is the one that initiated this madness. He told Peter, go and stand before the temple in Acts 5. He said, Peter, stand up here. Stand before a church. I don't know that you're getting what I'm trying to say. He said, go and stand before this church and preach eternal life. What are you talking about? How can Peter stand up, see unbelievers, and the Holy Spirit leads him to a temple? He said, you see this place they are sacrificing? Start preaching eternal life here. And they are dressed on white. They are bowing their heads. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And the Holy Spirit is leading him there. Are you seeing that the Holy Spirit is the one causing this trouble? Because if you don't go and tell them, they'll be assuming that they know already. And if the light in you be darkness, the darkness is what? So great. That is why we have a lot of church buildings, but few manifestations of churches. We have a lot of church buildings, but there's still corruption. Are you listening to me? Why? Eternal life is not known yet. Now Jesus says something in John 10:28. That's the promise of eternal life. He said, I give them eternal life, and no man can steal them away from my hand. Meaning Jesus is not trying to keep you by force. All he needs to do is to make sure that you know eternal life. Then he will go and rest and say, steal them, Satan, if you can. It's more like implicating them for serving him eternally. Do you have eternal life? Araboko subakataya. Do you have eternal life? See, there is no man under heaven that does not have the potency to live anyhow. There is no man under heaven that does not have the potency to live a stupid life, to die in sin. There is no man under heaven. The only thing that separates us from people in that realm is a privilege of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of eternal life. If not, we didn't come out from the best environment. We didn't come out from the best families that didn't have the traits of this kind of lives. No. The only thing that made us unique was the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? The Holy Spirit. You don't want to be a bad person. It's not about wishing alone. You will wish and still do bad things. The Bible says God is the one at work in us both to will and the doing of his good pleasure.
Meaning you can on your own say, you will know that this thing is bad, but you still want to do it. Your whole system is for that kind of life. Paul said to be carnally minded is death. Meaning as long as you are seeing yourself through the lenses of the flesh, you will definitely end up in debt. You will definitely sin and end up in debt. That is your destination. He said, but to be spiritually minded. Meaning when you begin to see yourself like Christ, he said, that is when you begin to live. And that is when you begin to touch and experience true peace. And what does it mean to be spiritually minded? To know your place in Christ. As I tell you the truth, I tell you, listen to me carefully. You will be in church as a lady. You will be in church. After church, you are the one that will carry your two legs and go and meet a boy. I want to live anyhow. Why? Why is that happening? Because you don't understand eternal life. You are just playing religion. But there is no way you can ever hear these things and behave like that. Because you walk in you, but to will. Are you listening to me? Somebody asked me one day, say, when did you stop living like the world? When did you change? I said, I don't know. He thought I was joking with him. I said, I don't know. I can tell you when I was born again and all that. But I can't tell you when I stopped a lot of nonsense. I didn't know. The only thing I knew was that I somehow, the Holy Spirit opened me to the teachings of eternal life. And as I began to excavate, at a point I found out that it's been a long time I live like the world. And I remember how to write a writing. I called it Lost in Light. I described that as my experience. That I was excavating this light. At a point I found that I was lost in this light. I was lost in the glory. I couldn't be found in the flesh anymore. I was lost in this life. I have no delight for the flesh. The only solution. That is why you see, as a young man, no matter how sincere you are, if you don't understand eternal life and you become a pastor and there are beautiful women under you, the devil will start using you to destroy them. He will use you to destroy them. It doesn't matter whether you have a sincere heart and say, Lord, I don't want to do these kind of things. Your sincerity does not matter there. There is something that must get you capacitated. It is the knowledge of eternal life. And listen, the Bible says you cannot differentiate eternal life from Jesus. It says in John 17:3 that knowing Jesus is reciprocal to having eternal life. So if your knowledge of Jesus is wrong, you will not really walk in the reality of eternal life. But if your knowledge of Jesus is right, you will walk in the reality of eternal life. Eternal life cannot work in sin. How many of you believe you have eternal life? I want to show you the potency of this life. It can't walk in sin. It cannot steal. Eternal life cannot fornicate. Eternal life cannot commit adultery. Because in the spirit, you are willing. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You'll be willing. When you understand eternal life, you are willing. You are willing to live for God. You are not in the flesh anymore. That prayer in Matthew is not for you when you understand your place in Christ. You don't watch and pray not to fall into temptation because they must come. You carry all joy when they come because you know you will not fall. You carry all joy. Glory to God. You are faced with the tribulation. The Bible says start rejoicing. What kind of change is this? The first set of people without the Holy Ghost, he told them. He said pray so that you will not enter. You don't have capacity to overcome. The second set of people with the Holy Ghost, he said, count it all joy when they come. Begin to get excited. He said, there is no temptation that has come to you, 2 Corinthians 10. There is no temptation that has come to you beyond your inability to overcome. If Jesus allowed it to come, he knows you are even stronger. That's why I allowed it to come. So you take advantage. You prove your growth. You prove your maturity. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You prove it. You don't get wearied. Paul said, count it all joy. I mean, James speaking, Paul then called it light afflictions, working for us an eternal weight of glory. In other words, anytime they come, see it as an opportunity to show God how mature you are. See it as an opportunity, not a time to fall. Are you listening to me? If it comes, know that you're feeling like this was that lifestyle, that smoking, that blah blah blah. You're feeling like that. Know that there's even a higher ability in you to want to live right. Oh, glory to God forevermore. Now, I'm assuring that you that when you are done with this service, the devil will still knock on the door of your heart and say, do that thing. But you know why you will not do it? Because you'll be so conscious of this life that you have.
You'll be so conscious. You are so conscious you are lost in the light of this life. Years ago, I told a brother, I said, walk. I was going to teach him how to walk in the spirit. I said, walk, let me see. He said, what do you mean, sir? I said, just walk. He began to walk and was looking at me. I said, now calculate your steps and how you move your hand as you walk. Let's try to do that now. I think somebody else would do it better. As if he climb there. Climb there so that they will see you. So you walk. Walk normally the way you walk. While you have 1 billion in your account, just walk. He's doing like this. He wants to do this way. You know that walk recently that has been on Facebook? That they are doing their head like this. Alright, now walk with a consciousness of how you are moving your legs and your hands. If anybody sees this man, will you think he has a problem? That's not how to walk. Except you are a police. Sorry, police don't know how to do this thing. Except you are a soldier. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Else we are wondering, why are you doing like this? Even police self, they all soldiers, they do. I think he's imagining like a police. A soldier's own is even more better. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus. Now walk like a police again. Let's see. This is how they do their own this thing. So sorry, we were trained to shade police. We love them, but we're trained to always put them in the front. All right, now walk, march like a soldier. So it's even better. But walk like a human being. With 2 billion in your account. They say walk in the spirit, but some Christians want to walk in the spirit like this. I do it now. You will suffer. When you try to use the law to live a spiritual life, you will suffer. Thou shalt not wear your ring. Thou shalt not. The law is in your heart. In the New Testament, where is the law? It's in your heart. God wants us to walk in the spirit. Just walk. Walk in the spirit. No sin consciousness. No fear for failure. Are you a new creation? If you are a new creation, do you have anything that is connected to the old creation? Romans 6 and 6. Let's read together. The Amplified Rendition. Everyone, I want you to lift your voice before we pray. The Amplified Rendition. 1, 2, go. In order that our body of sin might be dawning. Soiled. Did you see that? The body of sin, the body that permits the free flow of sin, has been done away with. Now, you mount up a consciousness now because of this knowledge. In your heart now, you say, the body and the nature of sin is done away with. Now you begin to quote 2 Peter 1. I am now a partaker of his divine nature. That old body of sin, that old nature of sin, the Bible says it has been done away with. So it is done away with. It's not just the Bible said or God said, it is a reality. What God says is a reality. So what is my new reality? I don't have the body of sin. I don't have the nature of sin. So my expectations have changed. I'm not scared of sinning because the body that allows the free flow of sin is dead. So that this new nature that does not have the potency to sin. Now, do you have a new nature? Are you a partaker of the new nature? The Bible says in 2 Peter, it said, then you have escaped the corruption. You are not trying to escape. Oh, these people, I'm not feeling you. No, you don't understand me. It said, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this, you may be what? Partake. Through this kind of teachings, what happens? You become what? Partakers of what? The divine nature. Having what? Escaped. Meaning the day he became born again and had the nature of God, the Bible did not say go and overcome temptation. Let me know whether this product is quality. It says the day God walked on you, it said that day you escaped. And every time you overcome trials, you are just proving that you have escaped 2,000 years ago. Are you people getting on trying to explain to you?
you are not overcoming temptation to show God that his product is okay. He knew the product was okay from the very beginning, that you became born again. And that's why he allowed the trials to come, because he knows that you are being carefully and wonderfully constructed for only glory. So that nature that had the potency to sin is gone. This new nature, God's divine nature, does not have the potency to sin. And from birth, it escaped. Can you remember escape velocity? More like escape velocity in physics. You've escaped the corruption that is in the world through laws. They say things must, when things go up, they come down. No, you are up. You have another law. Another law. Oh, glory to God Almighty. Verse 2 of Romans 8. We're going to read together, everyone. We're going to read together. And I want you to read with a loud voice. One, two, read. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin. Glory to God. There's what we call the law of gravity. That when things go up, they come down. But there's another law that none came. That we saw things up, not coming down. Are you listening to me? God made those laws. Birds can fly. Birds can fly. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? When we saw birds flying, we now made sure planes too can fly. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But in the spirit, there's a new Superman. And you are that new Superman. They believe that everybody is a sinner. You are not a sinner. Say, I'm not a sinner. You've escaped. You have seen physics in the world too. You have escaped the corruption that is in the world through loss. By the reason of becoming a partaker of God's divine nature. You wake up in the morning, I'm a partaker of God's divine nature. I have his nature. His blood flows through my veins. Glory to God. Don't talk about sin. Because you can never find yourself a prey to the devil having confessed this kind of powerful words. Then you meditate upon it enough. You think about it. As you are thinking, you begin to agar. You begin to speak the word as you are speaking. Now that's a part of my meditation. Now as you get deep in the water, you get the point, you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. If you stay enough, you'll be so shocked you can even go 2 hours at that point. Speaking one thing, I'm a partaker. I prayed one time, my neighbor, very matured man, he's the leader of the security unit in BSU, one of the leaders. He always used to allow you guys move in because of, he was my neighbor. He heard me praying one prayer for over 2 hours. What was the prayer? I'm a son of the living God. When I caught it in scripture, I couldn't help it. I began to say it, I'm a son of the living God. And for 2 hours, he heard me saying one thing. I'm a son of the living God. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. And later I said, you are saying one thing for 2 hours. God did not hear. I said, no, it's not about God hearing. I wanted myself to hear it enough. I was speaking to my heart. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in Psalms, making melodies in your heart. Do you understand? I'm a son of the living God. You wake up, I'm a partaker of his divine nature. Then you look at 1 John 3 and 9 that says, let's say together, 1 John 3 and 9. It says, you are born of God. You are born of God. You know, I love the word. It said, whoever has been born of God does not sin. I'm born of God. I can't sin. Stop trying to understand this thing, you know, think it enough, comparing it with your life. No, you are born of God. The Bible says if you are born of God, you can't sin. I'm born of God. I'm born of God. I'm born of God. I can't sin. I can't sin. Hallelujah. Forget about it. Don't calculate it. No, you will never get the answer in the flesh. It's a spiritual reality. I'm born of God. You were addicted 20 years ago. You saw this. It says you are born of God. You are born of God. You can't sin. You repeat it. I'm born of God. It gets into your heart. It gets alive in your heart. And when you go back home, don't sin. I heard this from Mark Hawkins. He said that the promises of God are motion activated. It is when you dare to do it that it becomes a reality. Abraham, stand up from your father's house. If he sat there, he would not become the father of many nations today. He stood up in faith and started going to a place he does not know. And he arrived at the destination. David wanted to kill Goliath. He didn't go there with spear. He said, you come to me with all of this thing, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. But this is the emphasis. He entered the field and stood there and started talking. motion activated. The Lord said, you're going to be wealthy this year. You touch millions this year. You don't sit down waiting for the millions. You know, when the Lord tells you destination, He first tells you principles. When He tells you destination, He adds principles to it. He said, you're going to become a millionaire this year. That, get excited, but don't stop there. Still press like Daniel. I say, Lord, how? Lord, how? How do we get there? He will not tell you, well, go and learn that tech skill. You will not be struggling with the connection between this tech skill and that millions you had, not knowing that there's somebody God has arranged for you to help you in destiny, that will see you one day, do something unique, and say, I like you. But without learning this, you will never get to that point, positioned, where you will meet that person. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I told you about what the Lord wants us to do this year, right positioning. About a bird that can travel several kilometers by just positioning itself at the direction of the wind. It will just flip its wings small and allow, not the eagle, I forgot the name of the bird. It will be going straight, taking advantage of the wind. Are you listening to me? When you get position, when you learn that skill, you are getting position. When you start praying, you are getting position. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I was meditating last night while I was praying, and I was remembering all the things that God started doing with me from the beginning of my coming to Benue State. How when I came from Kaduna to Benue, how I met some people who were healed from several diseases, especially a lady who was scheduled for an operation that did not happen. And I was asking myself, what if I was not praying? I will not become the joy of this sister, the joy of that brother. How somebody's leg grew out. I was wondering. Now, those days, tireless days of praying was not in vain. I was praying, but see what God used that prayer life to do. And as you are praying like this, is how God will change people's story through your prayer life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They'll be walking someday. You'll be walking somewhere. Your prayer is not a waste. You'll be walking someday. Then somebody will strike your mother with leprosy. I know you think, God forbid, and I don't wish that for you. But listen to what will happen. You just arrive. You arrive from Benue in that city. And say, where's my mom? And they will show you your mom. And you hold your mom. And say, in the name of Jesus. You see, I'm saying it like movie. It will happen. There are two options there. That your mom walks, or you watch your mom suffer, and you suffer with your mom. It's so painful to say, but it's the reality. Are you listening to me? But because you are anointed, because you are anointed. Now, I'm not talking about money yet, though. You were just praying in tongues. Paul said, I want to thank God. Testimony time. I want to thank God. I thank God I pray in tongues more than all of you. And he went and sat down. It was not a waste. Suddenly, Paul was preaching. Somebody fell from upstairs and broke his head. And they carried the person to Paul. The guy was tired and he began to sleep like some of you. And they brought the guy back to Paul. And Paul looked at him. He held the head. The guy recovered. He did not say the service is ended. He says, arrange, don't sit close to the stairs again. Sit at the other side. And he went and carried the stair and continued preaching. Do you understand? At a point again, Paul was beaten to death. Let me bust your brain with some spiritual realities. Some of you, we were just used to blood of Jesus, Holy Communion. Let's touch some spiritual realities. Are you here tonight? Some of you, your only prayer is, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. Let's touch. If you know who you are, you can't be covering yourself. You know you are already covered. Let's touch some dangerous things. That a man was declared dead. Dead! Go and read your Bible. I'm not saying rubbish. The Peter came around and were looking at his corpse. And doing like this. Go and read it. The Bible said the disciples came around his corpse and were looking at it. And suddenly Paul stood up and dusted himself. And carried his Bible and went ahead to go and preach in another city. He was talking somewhere in the book of 1 Corinthians 15. He said, I die daily. Some people are explaining it to be dying every day to the flesh. It's a lie. Go and read it. He said, if you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, then it is dangerous because for me, he said, firstly, he said, let's eat and drink because we will die tomorrow. Let's eat and drink because we are in a dangerous situation. He said, how I fought with the beast in the city of Ephesus. How I did this. He said, it's more like I died daily. I died daily. So if resurrection is not real, I would have died and not resurrected. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? These are spiritual realities. where a man went and preached, the Lord told him, can you come to that point in your life that an angel will tell you, stand up from here, move like that? I remember my days in BSU. I'm not lying to you people, no. I will stand up and go and position somewhere and be looking at people, and the Lord be telling me to call somebody and talk to him. I remember a young man was working with me. He's a pastor still in BSU. As we're going, I said, the Lord just told me that is your leader in your fellowship. He went and did evangelism casually. Till today, that person is his leader in the fellowship. Strong leader. A man called Philip. An angel came to him. He said, dear Philip, stand up. Go and stay at the front of Away Street. One man will soon pass. When the man is passing, stop the car. He's going to be using a paddle. Stop it. Tell him that, what are you reading? The man was trying to understand the scripture. And tell him, I have the interpretation of the scripture. When you interpret it, baptize the man. He went and met somebody. I know when I say paddle, you are not believing. They were carrying the man. You are sitting down now. Is it not bigger than? He had convoy. Stephen says, stop. What are you reading? The Lord said, you are reading this book. Follow me. He carried him, explained. The guy said, he baptized the guy. When the guy was coming out from the water, Philip was nowhere to be found. The Bible said, for the Spirit of the Lord took him. Let me explain it to you. He disappeared. Are you listening to me? He disappeared. And you want to live this kind of Akamu Christianity. You want to live Akamu Christianity. This kind of things in God, somebody should kill you from Okboga. With this kind of things inside God, someone should kill you for Vandika. If you charge, who can stay? Just 30 minutes of capital data talks. Everybody is carrying their load. They gather in one place, they will scatter. Capital data talks. Else, I tell you, you will die cute. You will die looking so sexy. You will die looking so hot. You will die with that miniskirt. If somebody have your time, just pray that one grandmother demon doesn't have your time. We had a situation one time in church. One of the sisters of our person here was dying on a sick bed, cancer. And I was praying about it for several days. And I was wondering what was not happening. Direct speaking to the body. And one time while I was meditating, the Lord told me, he said, it is witchcraft. There is somebody that is facilitating the witchcraft. In fact, the witch is one of the person showing more care. I say, I don't like now to pass this kind of message, but I'll pass it. And I called the person. I said, the Lord said there's a witch. There's a witch. I don't like this kind of messages, but I will tell you. Me, I'm a new creation prophet. But there are things that are happening that we have to say. And I said, take some time to pray. Just pray and fast. And she began to pray. She began to fast. And she saw somebody. They call them familiar spirits. They are around, but you don't know. In fact, they are giving food in your hospital. They have been buying fruits in the hospital too. But you don't know that fruit and food they are giving is unto death, not unto life. See, if God does not help you, how do you catch this kind of people? That the person paying the most hospital bill is the one that wants you dead. How do you know? And as we are talking, some people who went to Oxford would think we are mad. Just pray they do not do meeting on your head. That's just all. Because you end up under the ground in Okboga if you don't listen. Are you listening to me? Are you here tonight? And while she was praying, she saw the person and began to pray. Right now, the person is late because the person doesn't want to remove her hand. And the sister is sparkling, perfect. But how can you tell? Except you have a spiritual edge. How can you tell? Say, these ones will just block their service. I rubbish. Go and make money. Go and make. It's not when they allow you to eat the money that you eat it. Your mates, some of them are watching us now in the cloud of witnesses. And some from hell. They are watching this service. The rich man, listen. He told to Father Abraham, give me some time. Let me go and tell my brothers that stupid life they are living is not worth it. Let me tell them before I come to hell. People in hell don't wish their enemies to come to hell. I don't know whether you get what I just said to you. You know those days when they partake light and some people have light, you will not be happy. You say, me then take them so that they go bring them the same time.
So when they take down, you see some people say, thank God, they'll go bring them now at the same time. But in the realm of the spirit, the Bible says the rich man was in hell. You see, allow me, let me go and tell my siblings and people around me that they should not come to hell. I thought he wants company. He doesn't even want his enemies there. At least not somewhere you should want to go to. They are talking now, you are thinking of Dorime. You will go to hell. Oh. They are talking now, you are thinking of a babe you go and check later in the evening. Hell is looking at you. So I don't believe in all of those junks. The junks believe in you. The junks will shock you. So those hell. I think hell is just a fairy tale. You didn't wind hell. Oh my God. Don't know it at the end, please. I'm begging you. And it's not the emphasis. It's not the gospel. Eternal life is the gospel. Are you listening to me? And Bob says, our confidence to the day of his coming, the day of judgment, is that as he is, in this present world, so we are not scared. What am I saying? All this sin and the rest that is disturbing people and say, body not be firewood. Body, who wrote it that is firewood before? Say, blood they flow through my body. So I say, man supposed they honey, woman supposed anabara katia. If you walk in the flesh, you will die to sin. You will die. Your creativity will go away because you are chasing women. All you are doing, some people, you know, I saw a young man one time when we were training. It was a joke I made, but I'm just thinking about it right now. I coincidentally just held his phone and he was talking to over 5 ladies at the same time. And he was so young. And this young man has he believes he's supposed to play football. And of course, I believe in him. He has the potentials. But listen, potentials are not just physical. They are virtual too. If God in his mercy wants to help this guy, he will make sure he does not even go to Aimba. Because he loves him. What can a man offer in exchange of his soul? God does not see anything worth your soul. If he sees that if you get 2 billion, you become dead. You catch HIV and end up in hell. God will hold that 2 billion and lock it with his own padlock. And say, Michael, let them not have a clue. Let them just die like this and come and meet me. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to show you that financial fear breakthrough you are looking for. So don't pray against Satan. Sometimes you have to pray against God because it's God that is holding it for you. He's the one that lock it. And how do you start praying against God? Every spirit against my financial freedom, and God is like, who are you telling about this situation? I mean, I lock this thing. But if you observe, immediately your character starts changing. You say, will I not through Christ freely give you all things? When you start seeing the right character and seeing everything, then you begin to allow some things come. You are just doing well. He sees that you are behaving well. He says, allow that 20 million to drop. You think it's about crypto and the rest. You just allow the coin will just move. It was going bad. God said, no, let the coin work for him. It will not go up. 20 million enter. He said, let's watch him for a while. They see that he's not missing church. He's still coming to church. Everything is okay. So, okay, make it 50 now. Let the 50 million drop. But if they look at you and analyze and they see that when you get the 20 million, you are now calling, I can't make it today. I need to travel to Yanagua for a business trip. And on Tuesday, I will not be around. Send your account. Let me send my tithe. Because you think church is about money. You know, there's somebody one time say, Pastor, I will not be there, but my money will be working. I said, be there. Odogu Kingdom. I said, be there. God wants you first before your money. What can a man offer in exchange of his soul? You are number one, not your money. Are you listening to me? And when God says that you're not doing well because of the shop now, the small shop, he gave you 2 million to start. They say, go and do evangelism. He said, nobody in the shop. And God will be like, you get shop before. You'll be asking their market, what did they worry these people? What is wrong with my creation? This one way, they sit down for hours every time. Now, one day, one, Michael, let's judge this matter. Say, Michael, just leave her, leave her, let's go to another place and bless another person. The Bible said, Satan speaking, he said, God, if it's not the edge of fire you put around Job, who would have finished him since? He said, if it's not the fire around Job, Shebi would have finished Job. He said, remove it and see. And see, when God removed it for a while, Job was in trouble. You are working hard, making money, not realizing there's an edge of fire that needs to protect and sustain that money. It's called the blessing. It adds rich. It makes rich and adds no sorrow. Listen, the blessing is so powerful that when it left, his children even died. But when the blessing was upon Job, everything was there. He had money. His children were in health. Are you listening to me? The blessing maketh rich, has no soul. A blessed man is the one that has money, has good health. His wife is giving him peace. The children are everywhere. What a perfect life. That's what we call the blessing. How many of you want that? Not just riches. I heard a man sounding vulnerable one time. I'm not trying to mock him, but I'm quoting his statement. He said, I thought money was everything until the day I lost my brother. I employed the best doctors in the world. Some of you know the person I'm talking about. And they came and they couldn't help my brother. I'm not trying to mock him. When I was watching the statement, I raised my hand and I said, oh, let's tell this man about eternal life. Donnie McClurkin had a situation with his brother, I guess. And he called Pastor Benny. They had operated the brother's heart. And the brother died in the operation. During the operation, he died. The doctors told Pastor Donnie, we have lost him, blah, 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 blah. And he called Pastor Benny Hing. Pastor, sir, my brother just went to be with the Lord. Went where? Pastor Benny said. He said, no, I don't agree. He said, sir, the heart, they've already, everything is okay. They just allowed them. He said, no, tell them to remove the heart and put it back again. He said, tell them to what? Remove the heart. And what? Put the heart back again. They looked at Pastor Donnie as like a mad person. When they went there, they now had to operate again. Stress. What is wrong with this guy? We're telling him what is happening. Remove it. It's my brother. Remove it. I've paid for the surgery. Remove it. Put it again. Last card. Last card before checkup. And they removed. When they removed, they put it back. Pastor Benny said, what happened? He said, nothing. He said, let them press the stomach. You are telling doctors their job. They press the stomach. He sneezed. He came back to life. This is not fake news. Some people are like, hey, Jagger. You see, your life is full of Jaggers. That's why you don't believe. You think God is your mate. And you see such brothers will carry phone in the night and be putting pepper on top and say, Yahoo Plus. You are meeting a baba to talk spiritual things on your phone to get money. And you think you cannot just be in church and say, money! Come to me. Do you get what I'm trying to talk about? Are you seeing what these boys are doing lately? I was on Facebook this morning and I saw the pop pepper and salt on food. Rubbish! This thing is mass. It's mass. It's mass. It probably will work. So the baba will fake the thing and make it look, and when it, what you think is him, it's nobody is working for you. It's your logic. All the blood and the rest, they are strategies. If you see how this would deal with your sacrifices with honor and rice. Parakataba yakubagayaba. Do you understand? They say bring a ram by River Benue in the night. You that understand what Jesus has done for you. You that have eaten flesh and drank blood. Is it this sacrifice we have started in the kingdom of the Lord? You are not just aware. You have been eating flesh all your life. Raw flesh. And drinking blood. Every day of your life. And you think they will not pay you. I'm not thinking about Yahoo. Say, I'm full of the blessing. I'm full of the blessing. I walk in the spirit. And I will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. When you go back home, when you go back to your campus, go and show the glory of God. As I'm talking to some of you, I'm seeing some of you going to start sales or going back to your sales and setting them on fire. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? go back and recruit men in the kingdom. Recruit, go and cast them before Aye will cast them. We are changing the city. I say we are changing the city. So mighty good the word of God, it will be said in the city of Makodi and the church. A time will come, we will not hear anything about cultism in this state. We will not hear, and it is happening now because you are on fire. The Bible spoke about two men in scripture. It said, these men that shook the world upside down, it said they have come again. They won 3,000 in a day. 3,000 in a day. I'm talking about the same Holy Ghost you have. Be on your feet and pray in tongues.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.